This is ESH episode 29, Save the Monkey, Save the World. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And this is episode 29 of our podcast. It's the awesomest podcast ever.
Yeah.
29's like...
29 is the new 15.
29's the new black.
Yes, and pink is the new purple.
Yeah.
What is the new purple? Pink?
Yeah, pink is the new purple.
But see, all right, this is something I don't understand.
But green
how can something
is the
be the new
purple.
Black if black is still black?
Because really, to understand that, you have to like first you have to have a gay friend.
Have a gay friend.
Yeah,
he's the manliest. He's the straightest gay friend a gay person I've ever met.
Really, you know, I have one of those too. They're interesting people. I love gay people. I love you, gay people. You are awesome. Gay people make the best friends ever. All right, moving on. Before we do the fun stuff and get into talking about games and anime and manga and all that goodness, I do have to keep asking you to hit us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com or esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address gets you to the longer one, basically. So if you're pimping us to your friends and they're not quite understanding what the URL is, just tell them esh.mobi. They'll get it. They'll get all the goodness. You definitely need to keep hitting us up on the website, actually clicking on the hit us up link and filling out our form. Just drop us a comment. Let us know that you like what we're doing or what you want to see more of and things like that. And you get entered into our weekly sweepstakes to win free candy. Who doesn't want free candy?
I still haven't gotten my candy.
I know. I suck. The PAX is like still in the living room. I just haven't sent it out. I suck. Blah, 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 blah. All right.
Are you sending candy?
Yeah, I'm sending candy to all of you guys. I just haven't actually done it. I've got the boxes sitting in my living room. I just haven't actually pedaled my ass over to the post office to mail them out.
Ah.
But from the original batch of candy that we had, I wanted to send you guys candy so that you could understand what the gifting of candy for our actual readers and listeners is like. So I do. Okay. I have it all set. I just haven't said it. But that does bring us to this week's candy bitch.
Who is it?
Drum roll, please. Dreams in 6.1. You got candy, bitch.
You've got candy that I don't.
Yes. Yes.
She said she'd get it to us, so maybe we'll get it by the next millennium.
Like, yeah, she's been... By the new year, we'll get it.
And, by
and
the
then
way,
it'll be old.
By the way, Pandalicious, chocolate never gets old, but... Are you supposed
to be
eating candy?
Yeah, it does. The cream and the oils and stuff starts separating, and you get that.
Do you know how many years it takes for that to happen? I mean, that's
I
not
have
really
no
going to happen to M&M's.
I occasionally come across chocolate in my house that has done that.
Right, and that's usually chocolate that's, like, in packaging. We're talking M&M's here. They have a hard candy shell.
Yeah, the candy coating might protect them.
Right. It takes longer for an M&M to start, you know, doing that white fuzz thingy. And that's how you couldn't eat it.
Do molds grow on chocolate?
On the candy-coated shell, yeah. If they get damp. So if you have them, like, sitting out in a candy dish in a humid place, after a while, they will.
Damp.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why most candy dishes actually have a lid, because you don't want them to gather any moisture.
Because
otherwise, it will get damp, and then that will sit there and start fostering things on the candy.
Candy dishes also have lids because it's a well-researched fact that if you have an open candy dish in front of you, you'll be,
some
percentage more likely to eat it.
Oh, yeah.
And get fat.
Well, dude, it's like free candy.
Yeah, and if you don't have a cover on it, it's like glaring at you. It's like,
I know.
Eat me.
You heard it here, folks. Magic said, eat me. All right. In any case, that's really the bulk of the business that I have. We definitely want you to keep hitting us up on the website, on the Freshware store. We are having a ball making shirts for you guys to buy, and we love that you're buying them. That's awesome. Keep doing it. And keep visiting our gift guide. We do it for you. Make sure that you get gifts for your friends and family that don't suck. All right, that's all
and
I have
to say. And even for the ones that do suck.
No, I mean,
you can't.
No, get gifts that don't suck for the people.
Who wants a sucky gift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
nobody
no.
wants a sucky
you
gift.
Give, you have
all
to
I want for Christmas
even
is a really sucky gift.
Suck. No. For people that you don't like, you can give them sucky presents.
Right. And you
okay,
can
I don't
that.
Even bother giving presents to the people I don't like.
See, well, we're Catholic, so we have to.
See, I celebrate
see, no
a non-traditional celebration of greed.
Right, and see, you know, that's easier for you, but we're Catholic, so if we don't give a gift to everyone, even the people we don't like, then we feel guilty, then we have to go to church and do the confession thing, and we're not really sorry, so then you have to go back to confession to say you weren't really sorry about being sorry before, and it's just this nasty loop and a whole bunch of Hail Marys, and it's just more time than it's really worth. So, just give the
gift. So, does this mean you're both giving me a gift?
Yeah! You guys are getting shirts. Yay!
Yay!
Merry Christmas! All right. With that said...
Wait, weren't you supposed to send us shirts months ago?
You guys
yes.
didn't pick them. What do you want me to do? So, you know, you delay, it's your fault. You would have gotten two shirts, now you're only getting one. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I can't pick the shirt for you, because then everybody would be pissy. Oh, that's not the shirt that I wanted. I wanted this one.
I
already
countered
my shirt.
That's what I want. I want the, I so totally countered that or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. No.
I love that one.
I have to tell a story when it's my turn to speak, but only when it's my turn to speak.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, with that said...
So we're planning, okay, people, just so we know, we're planning to have a tangent when Panda speaks.
Yes. Yeah. We are pre-tangenting. What would that be? Would that be the cosine then?
Pre-tangent?
Yeah, because you have cosine.
Yeah, it's another
tangent.
Yes. Yes. If you do the inverse of a cosine, it's like a tangent.
Yeah, so it would be cosine, right?
Yeah.
Isn't the opposite of cosine a sine?
No. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't remember my math at all.
That's totally another podcast.
Sokotoa, that's all you need to know.
Yeah. I can figure out the tip, and that's really the only math I need. That and being able to balance my checkbook, which, you know, when you don't have anything in there, makes it very easy to balance it. Moving on. So, I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 truths, which, oddly enough, still resembles a Wiimote, to Magic Mystic Girl. Magic?
Okay, and when it hits my hand, it no longer resembles a Wiimote.
Oh, yeah.
I keep changing it on you.
I know.
It's
there's nothing wrong with the remote, damn it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the remote. I just prefer other things.
All right, fine. You know, whatever. Float your boat.
Aren't you going to ask what it looks like?
Well, I was assuming you were going to tell me.
Okay.
Okay, what does it look like?
It looks like Motorola's phone, the Razr.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So, wait, are we going to be speaking in the back of it? Since that's where the speaker is on the Razr.
In the back?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, in the back and the bottom there.
Yeah.
So everybody but the first person listening to the phone can hear you.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, but no, I'm so excited. I got this phone last Saturday, so I've been playing with it all week.
Uh-huh.
I got it super cheapo because I got some sort of weird, you know, you've been a good customer, we're going to give you some... a gift card kind of thing in the mail.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
And it was the day after Black Friday sale.
Ah.
It was supposed to just be a Black Friday sale, mm-hmm. but they extended it to the day after Black Friday.
Yep.
It was a whole Black Weekend, but
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah, it was
Black Weekend
Black
with Cyber Monday, which doesn't mean having Cyber Sex Monday, by the way. There were some people that had some confusion about that. Please continue.
Didn't even cross my mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a few people on the AOL who totally misunderstood what Cyber Monday was really all about.
Mmm. Yeah. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so this is just a quick blurb. This isn't actually what I'm talking about this episode. Okay. So I have to be quick about this. All right, so the razor, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my god, it's like a piece of paper. I'm going to snap it in half. It hasn't happened yet. You know, it may still, but it hasn't happened yet. So it's mm-hmm. holding up pretty well. And it's also quite a bit wider than my last phone. What was my last phone? My last phone was a Nokia 2060, I want to say.
Okay.
They're both flip phones and et cetera, but it was quite a bit fatter and quite a bit narrower width-wise. Gotcha. So the cool thing about this is it means it's got a much bigger screen on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has a screen on the outside, which my other one didn't. And it's one of the newer red, but not red, phones. Because the red in the quote product marks, red. The product red is for a global trust fund, which is...
Global AIDS Research
Global
Fund.
Global Aid Fund. What did I say?
You said trust fund, not trust
fund. It's for all those poor trust fund babies.
Yeah, in Africa.
Living in Beverly Hills.
Wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So this one is still red, but it's more of a maroon. It's more of a blue red than the bright red for the AIDS fund one.
Uh huh.
So just so nobody confuses it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Panda, don't you have the same phone?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I got mine first.
I didn't know you had it. I'm not copying you.
Well, I got it first.
I'm sorry. Everybody who gets a razor is just, you know, a copycat.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got the first one off the line.
Wait, Panda.
Because she didn't copy
who
anybody.
Who did you know that had a razor first?
Mom.
Thank you.
At least I'm not copying my mother.
Okay. I'm not copying my mom.
Oh, my God.
Mine's
wait, yes,
color.
I am. My mom's got a razor, too.
Anyway, my phone is a Trio. Nobody I know has my phone.
I don't have the money for your phone.
I know. My phone is the bomb, though. Please continue.
Okay, so it's all cool. It's got the camera. I didn't have a camera before. Mm-hmm. It's got the big screen. It's got internet. I can talk on IM if I want.
Yep.
Really fucking expensive to do online stuff on your phone, so I try and avoid it.
Yes.
One complaint, though. This is the whole reason I really wanted to talk about it, aside from the fact that it's a really cool phone. It's got the polyphonic ringtones.
Uh-huh.
And they suck. They
have the oddest timing with what part of the phone they'll capture.
I swear to God, somebody stole... Ninja, somebody stole your Candy Bitch random chooser thing and just decided to just
to
randomly
apply
choose,
it to the...
Randomly choose any 18 seconds from songs.
Ah! Ugh, that's no fun.
Yeah,
no.
It's like you buy a song, you want like the chorus or like the beginning or some memorable line.
Uh-huh.
Well, Magic, you know that that phone also it has an MP3 player on it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Right. I was aware of that.
All right then.
Cool. All right. So, with that said, what's the next thing you're talking about?
Okay, but the main thing I want to talk about, my actual topic for today, the official one, is Fate's Day and Night. And if your hot little hands are, you know, clicking on a search bar, it's Fate/Stay Night. Not KN. Regular night.
Like Darkness Falls Night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That was a freaky movie.
No kidding.
Anyway.
Darkness Falls. Which one is that?
When it gets all dark, this evil misty thing steals people!
Yeah.
Wait, is that the one with the tooth fairy?
Yes! And the only way you can stay away from her is by staying in the light.
Yep.
Stay in the light!
But anyway, that's another podcast.
Right. Anyway. All right, so this, the Fate's Day and Night is about this Holy Grail war. It's in modern times, but there are 7 masters / magicians. You know, they're magicians, but they're called masters.
Uh-huh.
And 7 servants.
So these masters,
I like that idea. Master servant, like it. Okay.
Yeah, I thought you guys would like that. All right. So these magicians.
Wait, why would I like it?
Oh, we know who'd be the master and servant with you, Ninja.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not going to say anything at that point.
Yeah.
She doesn't deny it. She doesn't deny it.
No.
You all heard that. She did not deny it.
She did not deny it.
Moving on.
Okay, so these seven magicians.
Okay.
Well, actually, any number of magicians exist in the world. But only seven of them are able to summon a servant. Mm-hmm. And if you summon a servant, it means you're part of this Holy Grail war.
Okay.
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 So and it's like being drafted if you can actually summon a servant?
You don't get a chance.
Drafted is against your will.
Well, if you...
Because the main character accidentally summons... Everybody else does it deliberately, but the main character accidentally summons a servant.
Okay, all right.
All right, so, you know, there's these seven servants, and they each have a different class. There's a lancer, an archer, a berserker, a saber, caster, rider, an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
That last one got me, too. I was like, where's the ER? Assassiner. Yes. Come on. Help me out here.
Assassinator-er. Okay.
Wait, okay. If you actually listen to what you just said, you kind of sounded like you said assassinate a senator.
I would never say anything like that. Ever. Killing senators is wrong.
Anyway, magic.
Right. So, this kid, Emiya Shiro,
Yeah.
I know how to pronounce Japanese names. It's just, I can't do it.
I understand. Like, I can read it and understand it, but actually getting my mouth to form the proper sounds on command, not necessarily going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Worcester. I know how to pronounce Worcester, but if I'm looking at it, it's just not going to happen.
See, like, I can say Worcester,
dude,
but I can't say Worcestershire. See, I fucked it up. I can't do it.
You want to know what's really funny? I have to share this. I know it's on a tangent, but when I was out in Tulsa... There was some news story that hit national news, and it happened in Billerica, which, if you're from Massachusetts, you all know what Billerica is, where it is. Well, when they were talking about it on the news, they called it Billerica, Massachusetts.
Oh, that is how it's spelled.
It's how Billerica. It's spelled, but it's Billerica. So I actually like wrote them in. I'm like, you dudes don't know what you're talking about. It's pronounced Billerica. But, you know, there are places out in Oklahoma that, you know, we would pronounce wrong out here. Like, I always thought it was Tahlequah. It's Tahlequah. But anyway, please continue.
Yeah, and things like Saskatchewan and all that.
Right, and Piscataway and...
What is that bridge? If you go up 95 up into Maine, there's a bridge. I think it's like the Piscataway or something. Super, really hard to pronounce.
Oh, yeah.
I used to take road trips up there with my parents, and every time we went over the bridge, it was spelled out right on the bridge there, and we'd try and pronounce it.
Well, that would make, you know, a fun game for the next half hour.
Trying to pronounce this English bridge.
Anyway, getting back to the point at hand, ladies.
Right, so anyway, Emiya accidentally comes across two magicians, and, well, actually, two servants, duking it out.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about this Holy Grail War is nobody's supposed to know about it, except for the magicians.
Oh, it's a secret war.
It's a secret. Hush, hush.
Yeah, but who are they fighting against?
Each other.
Oh! Okay.
Oh, so it's kind of like Highlander? They can only be one that...
They can only be one Highlander!
Kinda, yeah.
Yes!
Alright, so when a master summons a servant, the servant is the spirit of a great hero of the past, brought
like
to life...
Like Abraham Lincoln? Grail.
What?
Sorry.
George Washington?
Hitler?
You
just kidding.
Wait, yeah, please.
Heroes.
Please.
Actually, they're not all heroes. Because the word hero is very subjective. Because, you know, evil warlords who do good things, or, you know, who end up doing good things, can be considered
heroes. Yeah, exactly.
Like Schindler.
They're not all good people.
Right. Gotcha.
Right. But they're all considered, quote, heroes.
Okay.
So,
all right.
The really interesting thing is that they're not all historically accurate heroes. Some of them are historically accurate, you know, like our history.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are historically accurate, like the anime's history, even though they're not historically accurate for us.
Right.
And then
okay.
One of the characters even says, "I never existed. Hello, never existed. I'm from a book."
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is all right.
That's actually quite funny.
Okay. So. These seven magicians and their seven servants all want the Holy Grail. Because it can grant anyone.
Is the Holy Grail a woman?
You know, you would ask that, wouldn't you?
Well, because that's, Da Vinci Code.
No, that's the common interpretation.
Yeah.
That magicians, men with their wands,
Seek, love of Pete.
Seek a vessel.
Phallus.
Oh, phallus. A vessel phallus. For their wand.
Yeah.
Yeah, they seek a vessel, a cup, which is a woman.
Yep.
So.
Why does it always have to be sex?
Yep.
It's not.
The hell it's not.
I don't think Freud even came up with that one. I think somebody else came up with that one.
Yeah.
God.
That's why I wanted to ask if it was a woman.
Alright. Damn it.
No.
Is it an actual cup? Is it a cup?
No. I don't think so. They don't really explain what it is. It's kind of hard to figure out.
Okay.
All
right. Anyway. You know, I don't really want to describe what they do explain, because it'll totally be a spoiler.
All right. Kay. Yeah, we don't want to do a toilet spoiler.
Yeah, nope.
Toilet spoiler?
I said so total spoiler. You know, hello, is this thing on? Hello?
That's another podcast, ladies.
My mic sounds nice. Check one. Please continue.
Okay. Right. So, he accidentally comes across two servants who are fighting each other. And because nobody's supposed to know about it, one of the servants decides that it takes precedence that there not be witnesses, and he goes to try and kill Emiya.
Uh-oh.
So Emiya's, you know, running away and freaking out and blah, blah, blah. And he accidentally summons Saber, who is supposedly the strongest of the servants.
Oh.
Well, that's a happy accident.
Yeah.
Oopsies!
But see, Emiya, half-assed magician. This kid can't do anything.
Of course, he gets this super elite power and can't do nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And actually, he hinders her, because when servants fight, their mana, you know, if you play video games, you know what mana is, is replenished by their master, their magician. But Emiya can't even do that. So while all the other servants can work to like all of their abilities, Saber is kind of like restrained by Emiya.
Right.
Oh.
It's sad.
Yeah. That
okay,
is
but
sad.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
It's Saber, sad when you can summon it, but you can't actually work it right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
So Saber is a girl. So she and Emiya obviously fall in love.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh, obviously, yeah.
Obviously. It's anime.
Master and servant. Come on.
Yeah. That makes it awkward.
No.
And it also makes it awkward that Saber is, you know, knight chick.
Uh-huh.
Knight with a K this time.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and she's had to live as a man.
Oh.
Huh? Oh.
Not like cross-dressing as a man, but like nobody accepted her gender kind of thing.
Okay.
Oh.
So she called herself Ore and, okay, wow. Japanese reference. Okay, Ore is I, but only for men.
Okay.
Yes, I knew.
You know, she dressed like the guys, she hung out with the guys, and nobody treated her as a woman.
Okay.
So she's all like,
what the fuck?
Frigid.
Oh. Oh, boy.
So it's kind of awkward when she starts having feelings.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Right.
But the anime, because they're required to fight, a lot of them die. Because in the end, there can only be one servant left, so six of the servants have to die. And the easiest way, it's because the servants are these heroes that are like masters of their craft.
Uh-huh.
The easiest way to get rid of a servant is to kill their master.
Gotcha.
And he's already a dumb schmuck.
Yeah, he's a dumb schmuck.
Oh.
He really is a dumb schmuck. He's one of those people that if you ask him for help, no matter what it is, he'll do it. It's like, I don't feel like cleaning, you do it. Okay.
But, so it's like, here, die for us. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. He does.
What
he does.
Idiot.
He jumps in front of the bullet a couple times for Saber, even though she's got like healing abilities and you know is the fighter.
We're supposed to be.
Right. Is supposed to be. He won't let her though. He says some quite chauvinistic things. Women shouldn't be fighting and things like that. It's irritating.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say them too often.
Well, that's so good. That's good.
But the overall theme is that these people have to destroy each other, even if they don't want to.
Because it's destiny. It's fate.
Yeah, they all have... Yeah, that's probably where the title... I'll talk about that, where I think the title came from. They all have wishes. quite a few of them are evil and you don't want to see them succeed, but enough of them are good that you don't want to see them fight each other.
Oh.
It's sad. It's sad. It's very sad.
Does it suck balls?
No, it's sad.
No, it's sad, not happy.
Ah! I can't believe you said that.
I've been drinking Mountain Dew. I'm liable to say anything at this point.
Oh yeah, you're drunk if you're drinking Mountain Dew. What with that, you know, non-existent proof.
I get kinda hyper when I start drinking Mountain Dew, especially since I'm on my third one.
Okay, so does hyperness affect your brain?
Yes.
Yeah, it actually does.
Her brain, yes.
Yeah. I'm actually, like, I get more mellow when I'm drunk than when I'm, like, hyper off of caffeine. When I get hyper off of caffeine, it's bad. It's ugly. I freely admit it. It's ugly.
Lovely.
I say the stuff that Panda says after she's had a drink.
Shut up! Stop bringing that up!
Am I lying?
No.
All right, then.
But our audience doesn't need to know about the things that I say when I'm drunk.
Oh, yes, they do.
No, they don't.
And if I ever have a recording going while you're drunk, oh, my God.
So is she a precocious drunk?
Oh, God.
Oh, she is just a slut when she's drunk. But
oh, my God! Anyway, that's another podcast.
Am I melancholy drunk? I'm a melancholy.
It's another
drunk.
Podcast.
I'm all, why does nobody love me?
Oh, see, no, I'm just a laid back, chill kind of. Are you okay? All right,
but
the, good.
That's only when I'm. That's only when I'm really drunk.
Yeah, yeah. When I'm really drunk, I'm just chill. Yeah. So it has the opposite effect. But when I have caffeine, oh my God, do I get annoying?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Like right now.
I think that's what got us onto this topic.
Dinky, dinky, dinky. Please, continue. Well, actually, seeing as how we're coming up a half hour mark here, I guess I want to say, what do you like most? What drew you
just
to?
Give me 2 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go.
So I think the title, Fates Day and Night, has to do with the fact that the backslash means a lot to me. Because it's, you know, there's fate, and then because they're in love, it's like, because one way or the other, when the war is over, Saber is going to disappear.
Right.
Because there's no
then
need
there's
for
no point in love because it
yeah,
doesn't
that's,
matter.
That's what I'm saying. It's fate that she's going to disappear. But even so, is it okay? This is a big question. Is it okay for them to love each other? Is it okay for them just to think about, you know, staying that one night together? And not in
yeah.
the sexual sense. Like,
oh,
know,
well,
hugging and
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's totally cool.
Well, yeah.
Love is
and
love,
also,
baby!
Also, it could mean stay the night, as in, you know, keep it away, as in keeping other people. This is Emiya's big, big, big goal, to keep other people from misusing the Grail. Because 10 years ago, in the last Holy Grail War, the area he lived in was totally destroyed, and he was the only one that survived.
Ugh.
Because of this battle. So he's determined that nobody gets hurt.
Well,
but he's got to kill people.
Yeah, yeah, that's the sad part.
Well, you know, that's where you have the conflict is you want to save people, you want to do good, but, you know, sometimes in order to save the many, some have to be sacrificed, and so it tends to be a running theme of conflict for main hero, is how
yeah,
you square
that's,
away.
That's the big crux of the series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I compromise myself to save people, or do I not compromise myself and try and save everybody and probably not have it work?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are the big issues in Fates Day and Night. And let me just tell you, the opening and closings are great. They're awesome. They're amazing. I downloaded
Ooh.
Them all already.
Okay, so...
All right, by Sachi Tanaka.
All right.
Disillusion, Ooh. Which is the first opening. Karameku Namida wa Hoshini, which is the second opening, and Kimito no Asu, which is the second closing.
Okay.
And they're all great songs.
Do
you should
me
go
a favor
download them all.
And make sure that you email me exactly those names so,
so
I write
can...
them right in the show notes.
Okay. Okay. I can do that.
As well as the title, because I guess I'm not sure if it's Fate / Stay Night, or Stay A Night, or Stay The Night.
It's just stay night. But okay, yeah, I'll write that all for you.
Yeah. Well, it sounds really interesting. And this is an anime series?
It is. It's 24 episodes, which is kind of strange. Usually it's 26.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two seasons, two arcs.
Yep.
Normally.
Yep. It's awesome. You have to go see it. I'm going to give it a 4.5 of 5.
Okay.
Because I really, really liked it. It's got its silly moments. He ends up, you know, with all these girls in his house, but it kind of minimizes that. It's not a harem anime.
Good.
Yeah. It's quite serious. You know, people actually die.
Right.
And all that, and there's all the emotion from that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this big honor, duty, desire problem as mm-hmm. well. And, yeah, there are whole other things I didn't want to talk about because they're spoilers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would totally recommend it. It's on my list of stuff to buy when it comes to the U.S. And I think it was recently licensed, so that day should come soon, actually.
Excellent.
Well, yippee!
I really look forward to that because it sounds like...
So I'm turning the Razor back into a Wiimote. And I'm handing the transmutable Wiimote of truth to Pandalicious. Of 1,000 truths to Pandalicious.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and I'm too lazy to transmute it, so I'll just keep it as it is.
Rock on!
Well, no big deal to me. But anyway... a little blurb for me today was on Tuesday, that's when the anime club that I'm a part of on my campus meets, and I was driving to this meeting, and I was on the Highland Ave, not that anyone who's listening to this would know where I'm talking about except for maybe Magic, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. And there was this car full of all these teenage boys, angst everywhere, I'm going to assume. Yeah, angst running high. And on the back of this van was a bumper sticker. And I died. I had to pull over because I could not help but laugh.
Uh-oh.
It went like this, and I quote, "It's a druid thing." So I pull over, and I just flip out in my car because I'm like, oh my god, it's a WoW reference! You know, and it had a little, like, WoW logo in the corner. So I totally knew, and I'm like, oh dude, I don't know who you are, but yes, yes, Y-E-S.
Have you seen the WoW commercial? Alright, I don't watch TV very often, so I was watching either
the Office Space one that I posted on the website.
Yeah,
when it came out,
he's like, "I got a meeting in a few minutes with the Bobs," and then it flashes to his computer, and he's playing WoW.
Yeah, and he's like, got the box on top of the screen. Yeah, yeah, I posted that on the website like a while ago when it came out.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, I don't watch TV, so I don't know these things.
Yeah, and you obviously don't read the website because I put the YouTube video on it.
It's
all right. It's okay. You know,
I do better than Panda does.
This is true. This is true.
You know.
What?
Anyway.
Hey, we're just talking truth here. All right? Sometimes the truth hurts.
Which is, she doesn't, she doesn't want to hear it, though.
No.
No.
And she doesn't want to read it, either.
Anyway. Getting back to the point at hand, guys, what I want to talk about today is also an anime that I've come to watch from this group once again, and Magic knows a little bit about it, because I believe you were reading about it. You read it.
I read the manga before we ever started.
I
started reading the manga before AB last year, so last year I'd already started reading it.
So you're already hip on the game. But
the game?
It's called, yeah, it's a black thing.
Yeah.
anyway, it's
what
called
I
Death Note.
I understand what the two of you are talking about.
You wouldn't, yeah, but anyway.
Right. Don't worry.
Yeah,
don't
it's cool. It's
I
cool.
I had to explain Trifling to one of my white friends the other day, so it's all good.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was
isn't
like,
it so cute when they try to understand?
I know, it's adorable. They're like, what does that mean? And I'm like, oh.
We're kidding, Magic. We're kidding. We're just joking.
I'm not.
Anyway.
I think
well,
it's
I am. We can't
like,
do that.
What does that mean? I'm happy to educate people. But I think it's so cute that they want to ask and know.
Anyway, so right. It's called Death Note.
Okay.
And the opening the opening scenes and the opening song already draw you in because it's got this high edge, like it gets your attention. It's not one of those animes that throws you off with a really stupid song and then you're like, what the fuck is this?
Like the
Like,
manga.
oh, I don't
Helicopter
know. Like
dancing.
Scrap Princess. Crappy opening song.
I've never heard that one, but like
it's
the
a,
one
it's a...
for Steel Angel Kurumi drives me up the
I like
oh,
the te-
I
like the techno
like that
version
one,
of because
they took
actually.
It so far. If they hadn't taken it quite that far, it would have been the most irritating thing on the planet. But because they don't take themselves seriously, and they took it just that extra step that shows that they don't take themselves seriously, it was good.
I guess for me, it's because most of the time when I'm watching Kurumi, I'm watching 3 or 4 episodes at a time. So to hear that stupid song...
Na 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 na.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, make it stop.
Anyway, well, it's my turn.
Please continue.
Anyway, so it's called Death Note. The opening song and the opening, you know, credits, awesome. You know, it gives you this rush of this color and this black and white, and you've got this one guy who's all silhouetted in red, you know, and this other guy all silhouetted in blue, and they look like they're fucking crazy! And in a sense, they kind of are, because now I'm going to get to the point. You get this student, and he goes to prep school, he's a smart guy, you know, he's kind of cute, you know, for an anime guy. You know,
he's a bit of a jerk.
He's a little stuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because he's a good student and he does everything the right way.
And
right.
Yeah, and
you know,
because he's cute, so the girls are all over him.
Yeah.
He knows
so
it.
He's absorbed by it, really.
Yeah.
But anyway, and he's just doing his thing and he's living his life, you know, and everything. And then it cuts to this other world, the Shinigami world, and Shinigami is like death angels, you know, angels of death.
Right.
You know, and they all look funky. They're not like, you know, got like emo kids all dressed up in black, like, oh my god, my life sucks, and like blah blah blah. Like, they're like monsters, you know. Yep. And they have like their heads look like dead, like cow bones. Ooh. You know, and it, yeah, and this world is like desolate. It's kind of like a junkyard and a desert combined.
Okay, like a wasteland.
So it's got this, yeah, exactly, you know. And they're all hanging around and they're like gambling because they've got nothing better to do.
Well, why not
and
shoot
you,
little craps while you're in a wasteland? I mean,
it's like purgatory because, like, they just hang out there. And okay, they all have these books, these death notes. And what you do with this book is you write down the name of someone. You have to know what they look like. You need to know their whole name, and you write it down.
Okay.
And if you don't specify their, like, death within, like, I think, I'm trying to remember how this goes.
It's like 40 seconds.
It's like 40 seconds.
It's a minute and 40 seconds, isn't it?
I think so. And if you don't specify how they die, they just die of a heart attack. But after you've put down the name and you've thought of their face, you have 6 minutes to detail how they'll die, and that is how they'll die.
Oh, well,
so like,
this is a pick-me-up episode, if, you know,
oh,
series,
oh,
whatever.
It is! Because, you know, as we're sitting there watching these episodes, you know, because, you know, you see this Shinigami named Ryuk, or Ryuk, I don't even know how to...
R-Y-U-K, pronounce it yourself.
Yeah, Ryuk, I'll just say
it. I'm going to try it.
And he's bored up in this wasteland, because there's nothing to do unless you're, like, on Earth or whatever world you can go to kill things. You know, you don't have much to do.
Right.
So, you know, he's bored, you know, and he's like, you know what? I need to do something. I need some excitement. And he drops his death note into the human world, which it's not really a no-no, but if you drop it, you got to go pick it up.
Right.
So, you know, so he drops it, you know, and he's all like, oh, guys, I got to go. I dropped my death note. And they're like, oh, all
yeah,
right.
He's like the blonde chick at the party with the short skirt. Tee-hee, yeah. I dropped something. I have to bend over slowly and pick it up now.
Yeah. Oh, that's what, yeah. And okay. So he drops it in the human world. And Kira, that's what I'm going to call him. Kira's in school, the boy I was telling you about. He's uh-huh. in school, and he's looking out the window because he's just so bored. You know, he's so bored with life because everything seems to go his way. You know, oh, boo-hoo is me. I've got nothing better to do with my life. And he sees something fall from the sky.
Uh-huh.
So at the end of his class, he goes outside and he sees this book. And it says Death Note on it. You know, and at first he's all like, yeah, right, whatever. But, you know, he's kind of curious about it, so he goes back and he gets it. You know, and this lovely Shinigami, very, you know, mysteriously, writes down all the how-to, like how to use this book in the first few pages. So at first, you know, Kira's like reading through it, and he's like, yeah, right. He's like, it wouldn't do that. It's not real. Someone spent way too much time. What a joke. Ha ha ha, you got me. You know, but he keeps it anyway. So you're like, you know.
Yeah, you know he's going to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking to convince himself. That's what was going on.
Yeah. So he's at home. He's got this book, you know, and he's all like, well, let me give this a test. So, like, he's watching TV and, you know, he's on the news. And the news, you know, he's, you know, some criminals. I think this criminal had, like, taken over this
kindergarten.
This kindergarten. Hadn't killed anyone yet, but he had just taken it over. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it flashes his picture and his name. So he's like, well, he's like, if I just put his name down and I envision him in my mind, he'll just die of a heart attack. So he writes down this man's name and he waits and he waits. You know, and, like, he's watching the news because you could see the building and you hear, like, the reporters talk about how he went in there. You know, and he's all like, only a couple more seconds left. And then all of a sudden, you know, the newscaster's like, oh, my God, we just got this news, this thing in. This criminal has, like, just fallen down dead. So now Kira's like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, shit, it works. and then the Shinigami shows up and he's all like, oh, so you were using my book. You know, and... For a person, you know, coming in contact with, like, an angel of death, you know, this kid kind of took it very calmly, you know, just like, oh, really? You know, and, like, this kid starts writing down all these names in these books, and he's going after criminals and all that. And, I mean,
he's using the book for good, actually.
Yeah, he fancies himself
as a god.
Justice
he figures after he uses this book, that he can cleanse the world of all of its bad seeds, and he can become the new god of the world.
Oh, well, it's not like he has delusions of grandeur or anything like that.
No!
No.
But it's you, and you start seeing his mind slip a little bit.
Oh, you think? Maybe just a little bit? You know, having
just a little
to, like,
bit.
Kill people?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can tell that he's quite sane from the fact that he doesn't react at all to the fact that she...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I got some Shinigami friends that they just roll through and be like, hey, yo, ninja, what the deal is? And I'm like, hey, what's up, dead motherfucker? You know, it's all good.
So, you see his mind slip a little bit, you know, and, you know, the Shinigami is like, yeah, well, he's like, I can't go anywhere until the book's finished or you're finished. You know, so of course you're like, what does that mean? So the FBI catches wind that all these criminals that are in prison and whatnot are dropping like flies. Uh-huh. You know, and they're all just dropping because of heart attacks. So, you know, they're like, this isn't right. There's something wrong with this. You know, and they're like, well, we got to figure out what it is because, you know, we can't have this happening, you know, and the FBI kind of has this guy named L. L has, like, no physical appearance. He's on a computer, which surprisingly enough looks like a Mac with a tower. Like, I thought this was really funny when I saw it. I was like, oh my God, it's a Mac. I know it's a Mac, you know, and yeah. Yeah,
don't
that's
you know
how excited.
Stuff like that happens.
I was so excited about it. I was like, "Oh my God, it's a Mac!" But anyway, did right away. So he disguises his voice and he's talking to, you know, this big board of like FBI and like Japan and all the police, you know, in the area.
Oh my God, though his voice.
He's so hot. Elle's voice is the hottest thing on the planet. Like, when you hear him and not with the voice distortion, and even with the voice distortion, he's a hot motherfucker. But anyway, like,
okay,
I guess.
Okay, you have to be careful. You have to be careful with stuff like that, because I watched V for Vendetta, and I was, like, totally crazy about his voice, and then I realized that it was the guy who played Agent Smith.
Yes!
He beat it. It was the guy who played Agent Smith and that elf. I was like, oh God, he's like 50. He's like,
yes,
twice my age.
I don't care.
He's two and a half times my age.
I don't even care.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Has a hot, sexy voice. But anyway, L is this great
nothing
deter-
but a number. All
right. Anyway, L is this master detective who has always solved his cases.
Uh-huh.
You know, but L can't just be contacted. He chooses which cases he pursues.
Okay.
You know, and he's all like, you know, he's interested in this because, you know, this guy who's killing off these criminals has no contact with these people when he does it. So, you know, it's kind of mystical, you know, and all these people on websites are like, oh my God, Kira, because that's what they call him, because in the Japanese language, they really don't have an L.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of supposed to sound like killer, but since they don't have L, they went Kira, which is totally okay.
Right.
You know, they have all these sites dedicated to him because he's in a sense doing something right because he's killing bad people.
Uh-huh.
But I think he's doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, and Well, yes. So L's on the case because he wants to bring this guy to justice because this guy's got a weird sense of what justice really is.
Uh-huh.
So it's a battle of the minds.
Uh-huh.
You know, and to test all this out, L goes and puts this convicted felon on TV posing to be himself. Posing
that was
as
a surprise.
L.
They weren't supposed to know that.
Yeah. Oh, well. I don't. It happened in the first few episodes. I don't mind spoiling that because we've only watched a few episodes, so I can't go into a lot of
detail. So this guy goes on TV and he says, I'm L, blah, blah, blah. This is my name.
And I know what you're doing, Kira. And I know you think you're doing it for the good reason, but what you're doing is evil. This flips out Kira. He's all like, what the fuck? He's like, what's your name? And he writes his name down and the guy dies on TV. But then the whole monogram L shows up and the distorted hot voice comes on. And he's all like, interesting. He's like, try to kill me now. You know, no, and like egging him on. And I mean, it's, you know, and the music starts pumping you up and you're like, ooh, he's going to kill you. And like, it gets you like that. And it's very logical and it's very, you know, everything is thought out meticulous.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that kind of freaked me out is, you know, at the end of this, I'm like, I'm so glad things like that don't exist in real life because a lot of people would die.
Yeah.
Yeah, who says Saddam Hussein doesn't have one of those things?
Oh,
I
well,
do,
yeah.
Because he got sentenced to death, so even if he did, he ain't going to be able to use it.
Yeah. But, okay, so who says somebody's not using it on Saddam Hussein?
But regardless.
We are, it's just not a mystical death killing machine. You know. So.
But anyway. It was just, it gets your attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It grabs it, it holds it, it gives it a hug, and it gives it a cookie. Want to keep going back for more. You know,
yeah, that
and
thing
the,
does
and,
not
and,
give hugs and cookies. That thing's like forcefully injects, you know, something addictive into your system. There's no hugs and cookies.
We don't want to say that it's crack, but it's crack.
It's crack. But anyway, at the current moment, since I've only seen maybe, what, 4 episodes of it, you know, I'm going to say that right now I'm going to give it a 3 because I still don't know the whole progression, but so far, so good.
Excellent.
I like it.
May I say a thing about the manga?
Yeah, well, you read it.
The manga's just as good. It mostly follows the same story from what I've seen, again, just the first, like, 4 episodes. But the thing with the manga is I prefer the anime, personally, because I glaze over if I see huge chunks of text. And that's what it requires in the manga to describe everything that they're thinking and, you know, the whole brains, you know, the wheels in the brains are turning and stuff, and they have to explain every little bit of it to you.
Uh-huh.
So I would, you know, check it out at the store, you know, go pull one off the shelf and flip through it. And if it's really intimidating, don't pick it. Don't take it.
Right. No, that's
good
advice.
A lot of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And even reading it, it's like, I don't get it. I can't think. Like these guys. So the creators, you know, kudos to them. It's amazing how much work must have gone into this to pit these two like super geniuses against one another.
Excellent.
But it's really good. I'm very surprised at the layout, and I want more. Give me more Death Note. I want to see how fucked up Kira's gonna get, because I know he's gonna get all trippy.
Okay.
And that's really all I've got. Yeah. And I can't wait to see it. But anyway, that's all what I've got for people today. And I already gave you my little ad blurb about that bumper sticker I saw because that was just totally funny.
Yeah.
But
we got your WoW fix.
Yep. And now I'm
going
to pass the mic. I know.
Go
anyway.
Ahead.
I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 truths. That still looks like a Wiimote, but I'm going to put that bumper sticker on it.
Son of a bitch. All right.
And now I'm going to give it to Ninja.
Oh, oh, she's going to be mad. Her Wiimote's brand new, and you just stuck a sticker on it.
Okay. All
right.
Yeah.
I'm not worried
I'm her sister.
About
I can do that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't kill family members.
You could, but you'd go to jail. And mommy would hate you because then there'd be no grandchildren.
Yeah,
yeah, sororicide is not acceptable here on ESH.
No,
we don't
promote
yeah.
that at all.
That's right.
All right.
So what are you going to do with it, Ninja?
Well, I'm going to have to hurry up and use it because we're coming up on time. So I'm going to have to cut my two pages of note here as short as I possibly can. Because some people don't read their emails about making their segments shorter.
Hey.
So anyway,
that was a lot shorter considering. So
well, no, I think it's whoever goes first feels like they have all the time in the world, because when you go first, you're terribly long, and when I go first, I'm terribly long.
And I never go first, so.
But Ninja, you should go first. Take up like 45 minutes.
Next Friday, you can go first,
and then you can't talk. Then you can't complain.
Yeah. Next Friday, Ninja will go first.
Yeah. I don't think so. All right. So I got my Wii in and last week, but unfortunately I also got sick. So I didn't actually get to.
Too bad, so sad.
Yeah, it was actually pretty bad. I had a nasty fever, about 101 there for a while. It was
Do you want some chicken noodle soup?
I have.
You want me to call the Wambulance?
I think it's late now.
Did you say Wambulance?
Yep. Quick, call 911. She was sick last week.
Yes.
It would take him about a week to get to her. Anyway.
Yeah, really. So, but I was still having as much fun as I possibly could. Like, before I actually got sick, I did actually get to spend a day with my Wii. And at first, I was playing Wii Sports, mostly because I wanted to get used to how the Wiimote actually works and handles. And so, after about, I'd probably say about an hour and a half of actually playing Wii Sports, I felt really comfortable, because it is a learning curve getting used to actually, you know, not button mashing, but having to shake the controller to actually
shake,
get
rattle and roll.
Yes.
It's like back when you first played your very first car game, you had to learn not to tilt the controller. Now you have to learn
because
to tilt
it didn't
the controller
move,
again.
But now you have to tilt the controller.
Now I have to tilt the controller. So after I got acclimated to the Wiimote, I decided that since I had this slew of games that I got with the damn thing, that I needed to play The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
I've heard about
this. Is that
this.
The one where they showed the demo of the fishing?
Yes.
Yep, you gotta fish.
Yes. You could spend hours and hours just fishing if you wanted to.
If you wanted to.
If
no, thanks.
You wanted to. it's actually a really great implementation of actually, you know, the harder you fling the Wiimote, the farther out you cast your lure, and you actually watch the little lure bob up and down, and you have to kind of, like, actually jerk up on it when the green part's underwater to actually get something on the hook. I mean, it's great, but I'm off topic. The game is set up like a typical Zelda game, okay? Roam the land, collecting rupees along the way, destroy the baddies, in order to rescue poor Princess Zelda and the land of Hyrule. Okay, so it is your basic setup Zelda game. I guess that I should say the gorgeous land of Hyrule, as the environments in the game are gorgeous. With a couple of exceptions, it's really beautiful. I mean, the detail that was put into it is surprising. I mean, I know it's a next-gen system, but, you know, compared with all of the stuff that we've heard out of the Sony camp about how big and bad Blu-ray is and, you know, all the content that you can put on the disc and stuff like that, the Zelda game don't look too shabby, folks.
God damn! It looked good.
You've been sipping on my Mountain Dew.
No. I just thought that'd be funny to say.
I thought we established she has to have alcohol in her system to talk like that.
Oh, no.
So she's knocking them back while we're talking.
No, I'm not. When she has alcohol, she starts talking about sex.
Anyway! That's another podcast.
That is another podcast. So, they use like, it's just a wonderful use of, like, light and shadow and twilight to make this really, like, ethereal feeling. I mean, it does feel like it's a fantasy world. Like, I guess it's really hard to explain in words without actually seeing it, but it does, when you're playing the game, feel like what your imagination would come up with if you were, like, reading a fantasy novel. Ooh. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
So, stay out of my Mountain Dew, girl.
God, okay. She's lyricing like an old man. I have this, like, anime super deformed vision of Panda right now.
Oh, great.
Yes, she's got little, you know, carrots for eyes and, you know. All right, anyway. So, there were times when I was playing the game that I would really find myself, like, veering off of the linear track of whatever quest I was supposed to be on at that point just to take in the sights, especially when I'm on my horse, which you have a horse. And you can name a horse.
Of course, of course. You have a horse, of course.
Hey, this is my time.
That's now. A horse of a different color.
Okay, so, and I'll talk about the horse here in a little bit. But as I said, Twilight Princess is set up like a typical Zelda game. But it isn't the SNES Zelda.
Okay. Is it a hotter Zelda?
It is hotter in that, like, and this isn't giving anything away.
Wasn't he, like, shrunk in the SNES? Wasn't he, like, a little kid?
Well, on the SNES, you had an 8-bit character.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really hard to tell if it was, like, supposed to be a kid or a grown-up. But Link was always young. Yeah. And then through the different forms of Zelda, got a little bit older, and so we were now thinking like preteen or teen, and then it went totally kid with...
Somebody is letting this preteen run around with a sword?
Oh, yeah.
It's like giving me a sword.
Yeah, don't
like,
give
here,
her a sword.
I'm taking your sword away. Go play with
I have
girl.
A sword.
Hey, look, it makes about as much sense as... in Pokemon, letting 10-year-olds take little monsters and go roaming throughout the world with no parental...
Good point! Vision. Gotta catch them all. Pokemon!
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not gonna slight Nintendo for just being first on the ball on this planet.
They have ferocious children in their series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the game isn't like any other Zelda that you've played, mostly due to the implementation of the Wiimote. Like, while playing this game, you actually have to use the nunchaku as well as the Wiimote to move and attack. So there's actually, like, you have a spin attack once you have your weapon that if you shake the nunchaku from side to side will make you perform a spin dash attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have your sword, you actually, you know, by slicing the Wiimote, you will actually do a horizontal slice. If you push the forward motion... while you're locked onto an enemy and shake the remote, you'll actually do a stab. Excuse me, like to try and impale them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not button mashing as much as you're actually physically engaged in the attacking.
Okay, so that's kind of weird though, because see, a button, you press a button and you know what that button's going to do. Does the Wiimote ever, you know, do you ever not do the right control when you try and move it and stuff?
I haven't had that happen to me. Mostly because I found that for me, having the sensor bar below my TV kept that from happening. Like, you can adjust the sensitivity of the remote to make sure that it's registering properly what you're doing. So yeah. I haven't had that problem. Obviously, if you don't have it set up optimally, that can be a problem. Like, if you have too much light filtering in directly at the sensor bar, it'll actually interfere with the Wiimote getting the proper triangulation, so you want to make sure that you've got the right balance of light and stuff like that. But I haven't had the problem. Like, I was looking for that actually to happen, and it just didn't. And I was really happy about that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It
really is, because it brings on this new dimension to the game, especially because one of the things about Twilight Princess, and this isn't giving anything away, is that what happens when the King of Twilight basically decides to try and take over Hyrule and actually gets to the palace. And you see this actually after completing the first mission, so I'm not giving anything away. But you get captured and brought into this dark land that you don't know what it is. It's Hyrule. Again, I'm not giving anything away. And but you're not a human anymore. You're
what
a wolf.
Did they turn you into a shadow?
They turned you into a wolf. No, I'm serious. You're a blue-eyed wolf.
That's kind of cool.
Okay.
No, I was laughing because I made a KH reference and nobody noticed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did.
Nope, I didn't catch it.
I was focused on my wolf because the wolf is hot. All right, anyway.
So hot you're this. Wolf?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like, do they do like what they did with Hugh Jackman and Van Helsing?
No, not like that. I mean, it's
a wolf with like abs.
No, it's not that. It's you're a wolf, but it's kind of like a cell shaded when you're in Twilight. It's kind of like a faux cell shaded thing, but the implementation is great. But you've got these blue eyes, just like when you're in human form.
Mm-hmm.
The attacking mechanism is still the same. So those controls don't change. You still have to, like, slash to actually do a jumping attack. But you also get a partner who's called Midna. And Midna is actually a creature of Twilight, but for some reason is helping you. And Midna actually helps you escape from the prison and is like, there's somebody I want you to meet. And so you learn how to do jumping stuff. Because when you're a wolf and you have Midna around, you can actually do what's called chain jumping, where you jump from point to point to point to point that are higher points that normally you wouldn't be able to reach, but with Midna's help, you can.
That actually sounds really familiar. That happened in KH, too.
Yeah. And so you have that linking ability. So you finally get to this tower, and you meet this person who explains what happened with the Twilight and what's gone wrong, and it turns out to be Zelda. Zelda looks hot, and you're just like, I'm so saving her. And then you get shipped back, and it's explained, okay, you gotta save all the light and get rid of the Twilight, and when you're a wolf, Midna's gonna help you. So now go out and find all the creatures of light and bring their light back so you can save the people. Because whenever Twilight envelops an area and the people were there, the people get turned into just their souls, but they don't know it. It's really sad. Because when you're a wolf, you can actually listen to the souls with your senses. So, like, you'll walk up on people and you'll just see this, like, flame just hovering in the air. And when you listen, you can see the embodiment of who that soul is. And then they start talking about, you know, how scared they were because of those creatures that are outside, not knowing that they're in disembodied soul.
Aww.
And so it's really sad. So unless you bring the light back, they don't get their bodies back. But once the light comes back to the area, they don't know that they're disembodied souls, so they just think that everything's everything. So it really engrosses you in wanting to help bring the light back, because, you know, especially when it's like little kids.
That's like a classical view on the River Styx. Whoever doesn't bring a coin for the ferryman is stuck on the bank of the river, and they don't know that they're dead.
Exactly. And so it pulls from a lot of existing mythology and stories, which is one of the things that I really enjoy about the game. Now, you notice that I said when you're in human form and wolf form. I didn't say when you're Link and when you're Link in wolf form. Because one of the things when you start the game is it asks you what your name is. It has Link put in there, but you can change that name. So I did, because I didn't know that, you know, I was supposed to leave it or whatever. So I named my hero Vygar. And then it's like, okay, well, what's your horse's name? And so I changed my horse's name to Venix. Because, you know, I like funky names. What can I say?
Apparently, you like names beginning with a V.
Well, I was on that, you know, series. I was going to name it Rygar, because I just thought that'd be funny. But, you know, because I actually played the Rygar games. And anyway, that was an old school game reference. So I just changed them. And after you do that, from now on, when other characters actually talk to you in the game, they refer to you by that name that you put in. And they refer to your horse by that name that you put in. The only thing that I didn't like was that it's all done in text.
Oh, there are no voices at all?
Uh-uh. Well, because of the fact that you can change the name, that's why.
Yeah, that explains it.
Right.
So they can't offer that if they're going to try and pronounce your name.
Right. You know, but there are some games that, you know, will have a bit of both. And there is, you know, like, some noise that they have for each character and things like that. But that's really, like, my only vice, I guess I should say, about the game, is that the audio doesn't hold up with the visuals. And at some points, there are even some visuals that are a little bit jaggy and things like that. And that's when you remember, oh yeah, this was originally supposed to be a GameCube game, and it was just a port to the Wii. So keeping that in mind and seeing what that finished product is, it's still really amazing. As I said, you go back and forth between, you know, the challenges of the game in light and dark, because it's really like playing two games in one. Because when you're a wolf, the focus of the game is completely different. It's a much darker game when you're in the Land of Twilight, and things get revealed to you, and you know, having to try and save these basically lost souls, unknowing lost souls, is very interesting to me. The thing that I at this point have also really liked is this Midna character, because Midna is kind of like annoying but cute. He's like this little creature, and like he has this hand that pops out of his helmet that can like grab you and pull you to places and pull you into Twilight when you're ready to go to the Land of Twilight and stuff like that. But he's always talking down to you, especially when you're in wolf form. He's basically like, okay, bitch, you have to do everything I say, the way I say it, or you're not going to get anywhere. Because I'm so cool and I know everything, so I'll tell you where to go. But just remember, I'm the boss, you're the servant. And then he'll, like, smack you on the ass because he rides you around. Oh. And so, like, he'll be like, hep, hep, you know, and you're just like, get off me, you son of a bitch. But when you're in the Land of Twilight, he's, like, constantly riding you. And it's really funny because if you just stop and you don't move for a while, the wolf will, like, sit down. Midna will still be holding on to you. And then he'll, like, kick you in the side to make you stand back up if you just leave it idle. So he's
a
like,
lot
no,
of
really,
games, if you, a lot of games, if you're, you know, somebody who walks away from your game, you know, like, pauses it and walks away from it or whatever, a lot of games have things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Your character will, like, say something or sit down or have some sort of an action.
Well, like
I forget which game it is, but I have a game where the character actually turns around and says something like, you know, come on, what are you doing? You're the one with the controller. Something
oh gosh,
really
funny. Like, the first game that I remember seeing that in was actually a Mario game. And it was the first Mario game that I couldn't play because it was just too long. Like, Panda actually made it through. I think it was the Super Mario 64. Where you had
to I beat the whole thing and got all the stars.
Yeah, when you had to gather up all the stars and go through all the doors in the mansion.
All the paintings.
Right.
They weren't doors, they were paintings.
Right. And then there was one point where, like, if you just let Mario stand there in the castle, he'd, you know, like, sit there and start tapping his foot and cross his arms. And eventually, if you kept, you know, letting him sit there, he'd fall asleep and he'd start snoring. And he'd talk in his sleep, so he'd be like, Mamma mia, meet the bars. You know, just like,
it's very true.
It's so funny. We would leave him sleeping for the longest time, and Mom would come in and go, what are you doing? And we're like, we're listening to Mario. If we let him sleep long enough, he'll tell us the secrets of the game. And we'd just like, you know, goof off. Because it was so cute, because we hadn't seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
When you first are playing the game, it starts off a little slow because you don't just start off with having your weapons. You actually have to go through the game and earn more weapons and learn how to assign them and all that kind of stuff. And as I said, you're not Link, so you don't start in the middle of a mission. You actually start the game in the town of Ordona, and you're just the dude there with your uncle, and he's explaining what Twilight is really supposed to be about. And then there are these kids that look up to you, and you gotta kind of like be their mentor until they get kidnapped. So then you gotta go and find them, and then you gotta bring them back. But then they go chasing after the monkey, and then they get kidnapped. So then you have to like find the monkey. Yeah, I didn't mention the monkeys.
You didn't mention
monkeys. Oh, I should have mentioned the monkeys. Monkeys are helpful. Save all the monkeys. You have to. You can't.
Are they like in danger?
Yeah. At one point, like there's a monkey. And you save her. I say her because she has a flower in her head. So that's how you know it's a girl monkey.
Because all of us girls have flowers growing out of our heads.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely. And so
I do.
So nobody noticed.
So you save the girl monkey, right? And the little boy. And the little boy comes back to the village, and he's like, "Yeah, the monkey tried to save me. They're not so bad. So I'm not gonna beat up on the monkeys anymore." And you're like, "Great." And so then you go back into the forest, and like, there's like this dark mist and stuff. And if you step in it, you die. So you can't figure out how to actually get through the moss. And then this monkey comes out of nowhere, the monkey that you saved, and she grabs your lantern and puts it on a stick. And she walks out into the smog, and it starts disappearing. And she starts flinging your light around, and it makes the smog disappear. So she helps you get through the smog. And anytime, like, an enemy pops up, you have to kill it, because she starts freaking out and goes, ah, 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 and she can't go any further. So that you have to jump and kill it so that she can make the rest of the fog disappear. So she basically guides you through the fog. And then once you get through that, she's like, "Follow me!" And she takes you into the temple. And then you have to follow the monkeys, huh, through the temple, you see, because they know the way to the boss.
So you're not able to advance if you don't save the monkeys?
That's right. You have to save the monkeys.
But otherwise, does it give you the option to not save the monkeys?
There's, like, one monkey that you can, like, not save, but at the end, it behooves you to save it, because otherwise, then you have to go back and get it to get to the boss. Like, you can get through the whole maze without saving all the monkeys, but you can't get to the boss of that level without saving the monkeys. Now, you can leave and not ever face that boss and just go back to the town and pile around and do the fishing and, you know, get all the ox back into the barn and all that stuff. But if you actually want to progress any further, you have to save all the monkeys. Okay, so we have that clear. Save all the monkeys. The monkeys are your friends. Not the crack monkeys, just the good monkeys in this game.
Wait, there are crack monkeys in the game?
No, the crack monkeys is from a different podcast. I'm talking about these are good monkeys. They're not crack monkeys.
Oh, right, crack monkeys. Yeah, crack Sorry. Monkeys.
But what it's just so much fun, and it's such a different experience for me. Like, I never finished the Wind Waker Zelda game because I got so tired of having to, like, properly play the music so I could, like, summon a wind to get me to the right place, and I could never get the right pitch and things like that. And some of that does carry over into the game. Like, at a point, you meet this guy who's like, "I can teach you higher level attacks as long as you meet me and defeat me. Otherwise, you'll never be a great warrior." And so to meet him, they're like these rune stones that, especially when you're in wolf form, you have to howl the example tune to get him to appear so you can go back and do that with him. And
you have to did you just say you have to, like, musically howl?
Yes. Like, when you're a wolf, you have to howl the proper tune. And so you have to, like, raise up the directional pad thingy on the nunchaku and do the high note and the mid note and the low note. And it shows you on the bar for how long you have to do it. It's not exacting. You just basically have to get into the ballpark. Whereas with Wind Waker, you had to get it exact. And that's what made me lose my desire for it. So this one is actually a better implementation of that. And it's really funny, because once you actually get it right, the two wolves will sit there and they'll sway together and pitch and howl the cute little tune together. It's really cute. But it's also a very challenging game, because you have to learn how to get your attacks right. Once you actually get them down and you've run through the tutorial level, it's actually second nature. Like, I don't find myself reminding myself how to attack anymore. I'm just doing it. You know, because I'm slashing like I would slash with a sword. When I want to spin around, I basically spin around my nunchaku, and it just becomes natural. Like, I don't think if I play an action title that doesn't involve that right now, it would actually take me a while to get readjusted to the button mashing thing. So if you have a Wii, I definitely say that you need to, at the very least, rent this game. Don't be stupid. Just buy it.
Can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't be a punk-ass bitch.
It sounds better coming from me.
Yeah, because I'm not used to saying it.
I know, she's not used to saying, "Don't be a punk-ass bitch." I don't even say it the way that you say it.
Nope.
But
all right, you have to say it, just because we fucked it up.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't feel like it. Not today.
Yeah, you know why? It's because she hasn't had any liquor.
Shut up!
Anyway.
We need to get you boozed up. That's what's
Yeah, we need to get you boozed up before the podcast.
Oh, God.
With all of this said, I'm going to give The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess a 4.5. Because damn it, it ain't bad. If you know anybody that remotely likes Zelda games, this is a game that you can't let them miss. You'll be doing them a huge disservice. I'm going to have to say that the ratings that I'm going to give them, I'm going to give it 2 light blue candies for being based in the fantasy realm, a maroon one for having an engaging storyline, an orange one representing the all ball fun. I mean, come on. Monkeys as your guides? Dude, Nintendo, you fucking slay me. I love it. And a half gold one for being as near to perfection as you can be without getting it right. Because as I said, the music falls a little short. It's not all fully orchestrated. Some of it is MIDI, and it just detracts from it. I know that they were trying to harken back to the earlier Zelda games, but at this point they don't really need to do it. I think that a fully orchestrated score would have made me give it a 5 out of 5.
Wow.
And that's what I have to say.
So the only downside is the music.
Really, because, I mean, the graphics look great. Even the stuff that's a little jaggy, I mean, come on. It was a GameCube port. The fact that they got to look as gorgeous as it does, which it really does, especially on a 42-inch television set.
Of course.
It looks beautiful. I mean, and the load times are almost nil. I mean, there are very few load times that I've had. The game is near perfection. I mean, it really is. I haven't seen any frame rate slowdown. The remote is very responsive. I haven't had any problems as far as having to tweak it and things like that. It's a gorgeous game. It's a great story, even with, you know, most of the dialogue being done via text. It's still engaging. It's not a whole lot of text on the screen that, you know, after a while you're just pushing a button to get through it so you can do the action stuff. You actually want to read it because it just increases the story that much more. So yeah, it's near perfection, I'd have to say.
Cool.
So with that, I guess I'm going to have to say that this podcast is toast.
Cool. Toasted.
Yeah. So, Panda, what are you doing with your toast?
I'm going to make a BLT.
Oh, damn, that sounds good.
Bacon, lemon, yes. Toast?
Homemade toast. On the toast, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious. All right.
Thank you.
What about you, Magic?
BLT sounds good, but I don't like tomatoes, so maybe I wouldn't mind take... with toast.
What are you doing with yours, Ninja?
Dude, I'm going to have to make a BLT now, because now I freaking want one.
Ah.
See, I'm a meathead. I love meat. Yeah, you heard me. I'm a meathead.
And she loves meat.
Magic loves meat.
Meat. All right, if it weren't for fruit, I would be a carnivore.
Okay, so if it wasn't that she was a little fruity... She'd be all about the meat. You heard it, yep. Folks. She's saying it herself.
We didn't say it. She did.
We're not putting the words in her mouth.
Nope. She's
Magic's
doing her
putting
damn
the
self.
Meat in her mouth. Because that's what yep. she likes.
Yep.
In her mouth.
Meat in her mouth.
Meat in her mouth.
Meat in my mouth.
All right. Well, with that done, I'm Ninja Sissa.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And we're out.
And we're out.
Out.